Well, it is the midweek of the Holy Week, the Wednesday morning, the 16th of April 2025. Good morning to you wherever you are in this beautiful land of the brave. Thanks for joining us, and you're most welcome to Eagle FM, and this is your number one talk radio station. My name is Mike Oshovelli, and you are tuned into Unpacking the Day. This is the show where we dive deep into the stories, events, and issues that shape our world. This show is all about breaking down the headlines, exploring the context behind the news, and understanding how it impacts our lives. So whether it is the latest development in politics, business, culture, or social issues, we are here to make sense of it all together. So, but it's not just about us talking, it is about you. Share your thoughts, opinion, and perspective on the topics that matter most to you. This is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So our time is about 34 minutes past the hour of 7, and it is Wednesday, the 16th of April. And what happened in history on this day in Africa? So in 1972, that was the launch of the Transamt Railway. So while the official groundbreaking took place earlier, so activities on the 16th relate to the Tanzania-Zambia Railway, known as Tazara or Tanzam Railway, symbolizes Africa unity and development. So the railway became a significant project in linking landlocked Zambia to the Tanzanian port of Dar es Salaam, so enhancing trade and reducing dependence on the apartheid era at that time of South African roads. So yeah, so this is also symbolized, the trade, the Tanzanian Zambian railway symbolized the African unity and development at that time. So around this time in 1985, international attention remained focused on the devastating famine in Ethiopia. So on April the 16th, a relief organization coordinated efforts to provide aid to millions affected. So this day marked a turning point in a global humanitarian responses to African crisis, drawing worldwide attention to famine relief. And on April the 16th in 1995, Senegal hosted a preparatory session for the Fourth World Conference on Women, which will take place in Beijing later that year. So this event strengthened Africans' advocacy for gender equality, with discussion focusing on issues such as education, health, and economic participation for African women. So on this day is also, April the 16th, is also recognized globally as the Elephant Day, Save the Elephant Day. So highlighting the conservation effort for African elephants. So happy, safe, happy Save Elephant Day to you. So because we got an elephant in Namibia, we should as well wish ourselves a happy Save the Elephant Day. So very good morning to you. If you just joining us, we are happy to be in your company, and actually thanks for choosing Eagle FM to be in your company. So as we said, wherever you are, Eagle FM is with you. And that's right, it is accessible anytime, anywhere. All you need to do, all you need is your phone, and you are instantly connected to the news, to your favorite shows, and also to so much, much, much more features on Eagle FM app. All you need to do is just download the Eagle FM mobile app and you are good to go. So, and if you want to stay in the know, if you want to stay in the know with business, economic news, and the latest policy development, all what you need to do, you can grab your digital copy of The Villager every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And all you need to do is send a WhatsApp message to with your name and email to 081-241-44. And if you're a business person, we are making it easier than ever to grow your business. So our complimentary apps, Imba and Eagle FM app, those are perfect for boosting your product and service to a wider range of consumers. So, and don't forget our social media platforms. So they are some of the most active in the country, giving you the perfect space to elevate your brand or product visibility. So contact us at 083-288-400 and do that right now. So stay informed, stay connected, and stay ahead with Eagle FM and our all extended media facilities. So if you're just joining us, welcome to Eagle FM, and this is Unpacking the Day. When we come back, we'll get into our first item on the program.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Mutiha would take a cabuna, e matina, onjo. She calls a fat and anana, long as she fat yai, she became a shuana. E moya, or tango got some money. Anna is a fat yanamibia, or the dom banana, or jika. The Ethanina, or Maguro, need any toma, yue, long as she fire up to the ammo, eagle from media house. We 20 in the ha, ukakombanga nina. Kara on Pashi Freki, we mopo, you more program than the two. Moambo, then get a film. Con la gente aquí, la tienda tu Jerry Jamano Tano o Viaj y que lo hacemos.
Yes, welcome back. This is Eagle FM, The Eye. And our time is about 42 minutes past 7. And good morning and welcome to today's segment of Unpacking the Day. So today we are turning our spotlight on our first minister, our Prime Minister, Elia Ngurare, who over the past week has been really vocal about issues ranging from corruption in procurement system, service delivery, equitable resource distribution, and also public accountability. So I want us to unpack these issues that he has been vocal about and understand what is at stake and how these issues really affect us as citizens. So yeah, let's start with let's talk about corruption in the procurement systems, where it's really an issue. The Prime Minister has called a cancer in our public administration. He called it as a cancer in our public administration. So, well, corruption not only really erodes public trust when that happened, but also it deprives our communities of opportunities of development, opportunity of a development in those when actually, you know, resources are unfairly or in a corrupt way, you know, taken or used in a corrupt way. So when tenders worth millions, let's say awarded to a select few, it is not just an ethical issue. It is a, it's a structural one. So, which also Gurale calls, so the Gurale calls for amendment to the Public Procurement Act is actually a direct challenge to a system. And as I said, it's not just an ethical issue. It is also a direct, for his call for amendment to the procurement, to the Public Procurement Act is actually a direct challenge to a system that has allowed for quite a while inefficiency and malpractices to flourish. So, and he highlighted, the other thing is also he highlighted in terms of corruption in public procurement system, he also highlighted that the lack of skill procurement of professionals in some government departments. So he also highlighted that there's a lack of a procurement professional in some government department. And the irony is this, that Namibia has really young, skilled professional ready to work, sitting at home. Yeah? But he also highlighted this. He also mentioned that, but they are often overlooked due to, and this is also supported, I think, it's an idea that's supported by Joseph Shihama, that this young people are often, I think economic Joseph Shihama. So they are overlooked, often overlooked due to political interference. And, instead, Gurale mentioned that instead of unqualified individuals are sometimes appointed, leading to that sometimes you have these unqualified individuals that are the one that are appointed, leading now to inefficiencies. As I said, the economist Joseph Shihama weighed on this, point out a deeper issue, the lack of a qualified professional in key positions. So, and this raises an important point, I think, for us to consider. So, why do we have skilled people sidelined while those without the required expertise occupy critical roles? And that's what lead to inefficiency, as the Prime Minister have alluded, and also could it be political interference? So, as also Shihama suggests, so are there system barriers to what you can call meritocracy? You know, so that people should be appointed to according to merit, not because of either political affiliate, not because political affiliation, but because you are qualified to do the job. So those are some of the procurement issue the Prime Minister actually talked about, and I want to hear from your thoughts how do we balance a political appointment with the need for competence. I think that's very important, because that has been some term in practice. So political appointment rather than actually merit, merit appointment. So, yeah, how do we balance that political appointment with the need for competence? So is it time for a broader overhaul? Can we now overhaul of how we recruit for public service? I think that's something that one really need to look into. So, and the Prime Minister also emphasized on using procurement to empower. So he also mentioned that you need to use procurement to empower local communities, like the youth, like women, and the rural populations. So, and this is a vision. I think this is a vision worth applauding, especially in a country like ours, where inequality actually remain stubbornly, you know, stubbornly higher. All right. So we don't just seem to really have a strategy to deal with inequality in our country. So the Prime Minister, you said let's use procurement to empower local communities, youth, women, and rural populations. So and you can imagine. Just imagine a procurement system where food, let's say for example, food for government school is sourced locally, is sourced locally from a small scale farmers. So, and where, maybe where also you have where your catering contracts are given to a local woman, and where public projects uplift those at the grassroots. So now this is, it shouldn't be just about ticking boxes for empowerment. So it should be about really creating a ripple effect to economic opportunities. So, and I think that's, basically what the Prime Minister is actually, focusing on. But another problem is that, so, when we now you're talking about empowerment, so empowerment now without, and this is where challenge comes in, empowerment without capacity building is an empty promise. So if a small scale farmers lack, for example, the small scale farmers lack water, lack tools, you know, and training, how can they realistically supply government contract? How can they realistically be able then to get this contract? Because they don't have the tools. They don't sometimes simply lack what are expensive or training, whatever the case may be. So, and then this is where now the Prime Minister called for modernizing agriculture and supporting small-scale producer becomes really critical. Yeah, yet I think we must still ask ourselves how practical are this solution given the resource. The other thing is that given the resource constraint we face as a nation, how practical are these solutions? And should the government actually focus on such intervention, or maybe should the private sector play a larger role? Because we have to bring them into discussion here. Quite often we're just looking at the government. Where are the private sectors? What role are they playing? So what about the PPP? So, my dear listener, I would love your insight. Do you think this approach would genuinely empower communities? And are there other priorities we should focus on? So, and let's shift the gears and discuss also Ngurare's comment on public service delivery and accountability. So he made it clear that public servants must stop hiding behind laws and bureaucracies as an excuse for inefficiency. He said, so they are being inefficient because they hide behind, you know, the laws and bureaucracy, and that has become an excuse that leads to some inefficiency in service delivery. So his directive is straightforward. Be solution driven, not problem oriented. So that is his directive. So be solution driven and not problem oriented. So and this resonates deeply. So especially in our country where service delivery delays are these are commonplace. We used to it, isn't it? So, and I think that's really, as I said, that's resonated deeply because we need that change, and we need to change. He said, be solution driven and not problem oriented. But this is unpacking the day. So we always dig deeper. So, and also, you have to think in terms of what does this mean for the culture? You know, there's a culture within our public institution. You know, the culture, you know, that culture within our public institution for many years, for decades. You know, the cover your back mentality, you know, I can call it cover your back mentality. So that mentality has pervaded public service. So just following the rules is often prioritized over, like what now the Prime Minister is asking, over finding solutions. Yeah? So just following the rules. So that cover your back mentality, it has pervaded the public service for many, many, many years. So how do you then get rid of that culture within our public institutions? So it's important changing this. It means changing this mindset. Changing this mindset actually requires more than speeches. You know, speeches are good and they are well. We want to hear what are the directions, what are the priorities, but it also demands a cultural shift, if you like, a cultural shift. In Namibia, we really need that cultural shift and perhaps an adjustment, especially for the public sector, an adjustment of how public servants maybe are, how they are trained and how are they incentivized. So I think that shift really, really needed. So because things don't really move quite fast. So, yeah. So on that, on the public service delivery and accountability, those are some of the remarks that he made over the week, over the past week. So, and then there is issue of, accountability. So the Prime Minister focused on leadership responsibility, which is commendable. But let's not forget that, accountability is a two-way street. So it should be two-way street. Students must also hold leaders accountable, not just during the elections, but throughout their term. We should hold them accountable. So, and this bring us to the critical role of civil society and the media. Yes, that's us as well. So are we doing enough to ensure transparency in governments? So we have a responsibility as well, and we are trying to do that from our part. So, yeah, and finally, he also discussed, I think, resource beneficiation. This is a recurring theme. I think resource beneficiation is a recurring theme, not only in Gurale's speeches, but it's also in many of the cabinet, in many members of the cabinet of the new administration. I think this is something that they want really to prioritize. And the Prime Minister is adamant that Namibia's resources must be benefit all citizens and not just a select few. So I said, it's easier than said. It's easier said than done. Okay, that's the word. So, but when it comes to put that into practice, it's a mountain really to climb. So, yeah. And I think this is a sentiment. This is a sentiment, we have heard before. this is a sentiment we have heard before. It's not the first time we're actually hearing this. But the Prime Minister is taking a firm stand against public servant hiding behind the red tape. And his message, be problem solvers, not excuse makers. I think it's very, very clear. So his assertion that all Namibians must benefit from the country resource, it's a powerful one. And it speaks to the heart of the social contract between the government and its people. It's exactly what we want the government to do. So, and we continue after this.
Omiaru odhuri kekucha iponga ivurithia omaevi umurongo na gari ya vidhiri kwa mwona mibia umvura aziko. Onkene onditara onora oyu awike umaru wiponga watamba kumoji la vetumo pasanjika. Otashi vulika, saa shimpuyu, minga shoka shumojira, eto hupitha omenyo.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
All right, welcome back. Yeah, so I was saying that, you know, his assertion that all Namibian must benefit from the country resources speaks the heart of this is the social contract. The government, between the government and the people. That's what we, what the government should do. Yeah. So, and I think, yet over the years, the reality often tells a different story. So, and when development budget are allocated, sometimes why do we still see disparities. We still have disparity in how resources are distributed. So why do area, for example, often lag behind? So we still see that. So yeah, the Prime Minister's vision of turning theories into practical solution, I think, it's laudable. But as we know in Namibia, the execution remain the elephant in the room. Namibia we have no shortage of policies. We have no shortage of strategies. We have them. They are there. They are on the shelves. We have even development plans. We have them. We have the Harambee of this world. We're probably hoping that maybe. So the emphasis for this administration is not a new developing plan. It's actually the SWAPO manifesto. Implementation plan. So that we have that. So all this, and as I said, Namibia has no short. We has no short of policies. We have the policies and the strategies, but implementation gaps have long been our, you know, how do you call that? The Achilles heel. So yeah, has been always the pain. So, and yeah, I think those are issues. So, and my dear listener, do you believe this administration can bridge these gaps? You know, can they bridge this gap? It's too early to tell. And they kind of press the right button at the moment. So, but are you confident enough that they can bridge these gaps? Or are we destined to see more plans gathering the dust as we used to, you know, more plans just gathering the dust as we used to. So what does this all mean? For us, the Prime Minister Ngurale message are clear. Corruption must end. Service delivery must improve. and resources must benefit all Namibians. So that's what his message is. So these are bold statements, but they require action. As I said, that is the biggest issue that we have. They require actions. So the question is, are we as a nation ready to walk that road together? You also have a responsibility. You know, are we ready to walk that road together? So let's hear your voices. This is your platform and your opinions matter. So you may come through and add your voices on this. Our telephone number is 0833-66-091. Igrefe, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, that was a very good morning.
I'm good, brother. Where have you been?
How are you, my brother?
I'm fine, man. And yourself?
Thank God, my brother. We are doing fine.
It was something I was thinking. What happened to Mr. to Uncle Bwana?
You know what they say? I must delete that the old app. And then we install the new one. That's the instruction I got.
Oh yeah, you have to upgrade it.
But I think somebody need to manipulate my computer first before I do that myself.
Yeah.
You know, this digital devices and things like that sometimes is cumbersome.
Yeah, no. It's not something for everyone, yeah.
But maybe for me now, because of that, I just have to know now the thought of the day.
Yeah.
The thought of the day. Did you not do it today? The thought of the day.
Where were you? You didn't listen to it?
I just explained that my app and things like that is cumbersome.
Yeah. So you have to update. You have to update it.
What I'm going to do today is to be the last one to inquire on this issue. I must be listening.
Yeah, no, make sure that you update it. Otherwise, you know, you need to update all the time. Yeah. Now, the thought of the day is this one. So he who wants everything loses everything. So the proverb teaches that. It teaches the value of balance. Yeah, humility and realistic expectation instead of focusing on having everything. So it is wiser to prioritize and work steadily toward achievable goals while safeguarding what you already hold dear. So the example is like a person investing all their money in a higher risk venture out of greed for more profit may end up actually losing everything. So he who wants everything loses everything.
Yeah, I think it's correct. You know, that could also bring in some kind of selfishness.
Yeah.
Yeah, and self-centered kind of approach. It's true, risks are there. And, you know, like you say, it's very important to prioritize.
Yeah.
Yes. First things first, last things last.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is another opposite side to that.
Mm.
But I think it just really teaches us a lot, a lesson in terms of investment.
Yeah.
You say also you cannot put all the things in one basket. I don't know, is it the egg or is it what?
Yeah, normally refer to egg. You can't put all eggs in one basket, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a teaching in terms of investment.
Mm.
So be it financial or even the knowledge itself.
Yeah.
There are also areas where you know that here, these professions, if I get into this one, of course, the risk might be there. Obviously, there's nothing that cannot involve a risk.
Yeah.
For any undertaking. But what you need to do, maybe you just need to make sure that they are considered. They are really contained, you know, in a way that those risks can be then turned into, you know, I don't know the term.
Yeah.
So,
no, not to cut you, but I was just looking at, as I said, the first item on the show today. It's really looking at the past week. I think the Prime Minister have been really vocal about issues ranging from corruption in procurement systems, service delivery, equitable resource distribution, and public accountability. So that's the first item on the show. What is your take of the issue that Prime Minister has been covering over the week?
Yeah, I think those are very key points, very critical when it has to do with our ethical conduct.
Yeah.
The way we conduct ourselves, and many a times we manipulate these administrative rules that are there, and laws and things like that.
Yeah.
But really guide and regulate our conduct. I was reading in the newspaper or in this article where they are talking about tendering process. Some of them are being challenged and things like that.
Mm.
And remember, those challenging, the court proceeding and all these other things, when it comes to procurement and issues like that, I don't know how the problems in our procurement system,
yeah.
And I know when it came, there was also issues of, you know, really deploying the human resources and resources, financial resources.
Yeah.
To incapacitate those people who are involved in this thing. It's a very rigorous thing, the process, that thing. And I know my colleagues sometimes they complain there, you know, so you have to ask for this one and this other one. Some of them actually do not actually meet the requirement.
Mm.
But they just process the things. At the end of the day, they start to complain, you know, this other one, you know. But if there are irregularities, like the Prime Minister is saying, I know he's a patron of way of this ethical behavior.
Yeah.
And these are some of the people that when they get into those higher positions, so they make sure that the public accountability and all these tasks that the rules apply there, that regulate our conduct in terms of you know, how to manage these things, it must be really dealt with. So issues of, and I say that the leadership focus is really to make sure that they root out all those unethical conducts.
Yeah.
And to make sure that they are really, the rules are enforceable. And you see, the people should be accountable. They must be accountable. You know that those criminal liability. So when you are found guilty or you are arranged to be corrupt and things like that, investigation sometimes can go in and see how we can really root out this thing because it damages the reputation of the public service.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's fine, my brother, so tomorrow we can connect properly.
Yeah. So make sure that you download the updated one, all right?
Yeah, I'll do so, sir.
All right.
Thank you very much. Please keep on preaching those issues because they are very important.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the society will not have order.
All right.
Good.
Thank you for coming through.
Welcome, sir.
All right. Yeah, we haven't heard from him for quite a while. Good afternoon. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Good, man.
Yeah.
Hey, are Mike?
Yes.
The topic is nice.
Yeah.
I think the Prime Minister, not only the Prime Minister, I think the current government, the leadership.
Yeah. The whole cabinet is actually singing the same song.
They are inspiring hope.
Yeah.
The leadership.
Yeah.
That was said by Lenin. Eh?
Yeah.
You see, a leader is a dealer in hope.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what Lenin said. And you can see it here. The leadership is instilling hope. You know, even a person who lost hope, you have got that hope.
Yeah.
It's coming back. This thing of business as usual is coming to an end. That is the best. Because, look at this. You know, what I, my surprise yesterday when I was listening to when the president went to Rossing, where I heard that Namibia owns shares in Rossing 3.4. Yet South Africa, a country, a sovereign state, owns 10%. You get away.
Yeah.
Then you ask yourself, what does this mean? Then they are saying, it's coming from Corona time. But then you ask, but Corona time was, didn't you break the chains of colonialism?
Mm.
But if 10% was still remaining, which came from apartheid?
Yeah.
Which means not for South Africa.
Yeah.
The 10% must be apartheid 10%. Isn't it so?
Yeah.
Yes. So then what does that tell you? Which means the people were running the ministries, the Special Minister of Mines, were not concerned about or something it was trying to, you know, confront, you know.
Mm.
Because how do you allow, as a minister, a company telling you 10% is for this country. Then your country gets only 3%. Not only that, the constitution states clearly the resources belongs to the state. But that state only gets 3%. What does that tell you? It's not corruption.
So you might just have it could be also competence. This is also one thing the Prime Minister have talked about. It could be also competence. You have people who don't know how to negotiate, and
I don't think it's about negotiation.
Yeah,
it's about not taking the constitution seriously.
Exactly. Yeah,
the constitution is clearly there.
Yeah.
So why can't you exclude the constitution? Because when they stand before the out of whatever the judge, they say, I'll defend and protect the constitution. Now, if you cannot, and you minister, you are a minister, that must be treason.
I think maybe we make it, this could be a joke as well, I'm not sure it's a joke, maybe we can make that everybody who got into the parliament, he actually memorized the constitution from page to page.
Yes. I think that's going to be very clear.
We have a commercial coming up quickly, and then you can just continue. Yeah.
All right.
Need lightning fast internet? Rogers has you covered. The network Namibia relies on. Whether for business or pleasure, Rogers' cutting-edge technology ensures both reliable and speedy internet connectivity. We exist to serve your needs through a high-quality network and pride ourselves in offering client service excellence. Connect to Rogers today. Visit us online at rogers.africa/Namibia or call us on 083-300-1000.
All right, you can go on.
Okay, yeah. What we are saying is, I think that's the best way. Everybody must recite the constitution and know it very well.
Exactly.
Because it's not possible. Because all this, that's why me, I've got a point of. My concern is, these companies which come and then they pretend they are entities that are standing alone. These are government, man.
Yeah.
How can they tell us that our government cannot do business, cannot do mining, cannot have two or three mines where they generate revenue to fund the project, government project?
Yeah.
But yet other countries are coming in and do business in your country.
Yeah.
What does that mean? I think this was where they say investors. These are not investors. These investors are countries, and we should define them as such. That we are competing. It's not that a country is coming to compete. Is it? China, what's up? These are Chinese companies. You see, Glencore, whoever, they are countries.
Yeah.
You see. So people must not deceive us by telling us, no, what Grenko is doing, whoever is investor, no.
But it doesn't make any difference anyway, whether it's an investor or you refer to as a country. Whatever this investor actually get out of your country, it goes to that country. So it's still benefiting those people in that country anyway.
That's why we should have a law that says, or a policy. The government must own two mines. So we compete on the same level. So that they can fund their project. Not only that, the other parties. Look, I think the way the current administration is coming up, my suggestion would have been also, let's do it to all SOEs, whoever. If you get a position as a manager or as a CEO, your contract must be revised every 3 months. Before you mess up. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
Yes. So, whatever you tell us in the interview, we record your interviews.
Yeah.
When we call you for a revision, we say, this is what you promised.
It's not even what they promise. It's you, as a ministry, you have priorities that need to be, that need to be fulfilled. If the person doesn't fulfill those requirements and priorities, they get fired.
Remember what I'm saying is,
yeah.
because this person is called for interviews.
Yeah.
And they are asking, let's say, for example, in terms of any company, any institution, whether I'm Power Telecom or the municipality, the company is going down. You know, they are in a financial crisis.
Oh, you mean?
Now, you as the CEO.
Oh, you mean the SOEs? Yeah.
Yes. Mm. What is it that you are going to do to turn around this problem which the company found itself in?
Yeah. Mm.
And then you defend your question. Say, no, I will do A, B, C, D. Eh?
Yeah.
Then we give you get that job because based on what you have said, convince the tell the people, eh? You have sold your idea.
Mm.
So after 3 months or 4 months, we come and evaluate. Are you doing what you said?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So
and that's what we should do because you end up that you find that when people other people are told that you are an accounting officer, you know where they go.
Mm.
A full CEO signing SMT. A 200.
Yeah.
Does it really make sense?
Yeah, no. Yeah.
When does he think about strategic? So these are things because we misplace the ideas. They, when they go, they say this, then they do the opposite. That's what they, I think the prime minister is alluding to.
Yeah.
Yes. And also, what we need to do, the other part is, we should subject all these companies, including banks. Eh? I'm still standing on the issue of social responsibility.
Mm.
What they support in social responsibility is not the right thing. They must pay as a 10% for social responsibility. Then government, the Ministry of
It shouldn't be in writing. It should be a policy, actually.
Yes.
It should be a policy that
money goes to the Ministry of Education, Arts and Culture and other things. Eh? Then they direct, okay, we need a sports shoot in Havana. We build one. We need the to support to promote under 5 or under 13 athletics this week. Then they support. So we will find that even a person who is in a rural area, but in a city, let's say for example, not the region.
Yeah.
We start like the way we normally do it per schools in Windhoek, we do it in Kawakahanja, they do it, Marienta, they do the same. Wherever they do the same in that area, so they compete. Then we bring those ones who won the way they do it. But for them to fund that, they need the money.
Yeah.
And the funds can come from social responsibility because that one, no one is going to run away from it. It's us who use the services, and it's our children who are in schools.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Thank you for coming through this morning and for your contribution.
Very much appreciated, but I think I like what the minister and the president are doing.
All right, good.
So I want them to uncover this one of South Africa owing 10% in roasting.
Yeah.
Yet, they are saying it's coming from the colonial time. I listen to that thing.
Yeah.
Mm. And I'm asking myself, so apart from something here.
Yeah. So, it's a whole question of policies, my dear, you know. Yeah. All right, and sometimes we need to change that. Those need to be reformed. Some old policies need to be reformed.
No, they always make a loophole.
Yeah.
For them to start stealing.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. So
the way the prime minister and the current government, not only government, including parliament.
Yeah.
Let's appreciate everybody.
Exactly. Yeah.
Including parliament. Parliament, they are doing something very good. Look, I listen to parliament these days.
Yeah.
Very much.
That's what we want. We want people that are passionate, that have a direction, and have a love for this country, and they want it to do better.
Yes. Mm. Look, I used to listen to South Africa politics when the EFF came into being.
Yeah.
You know, and then we have our own.
Yeah.
So the best is to listen to our own.
Exactly.
You know, we were also driven to Traore when he was changing things. Now we can see ours also is changing.
Yeah.
Then we should now stay with and focus on our hours so that we are aware of what's happening.
Yeah, great.
No, thank you very much.
Thank you for coming through.
Thanks.
A very good morning to you. This is Unpacking the Day. And this morning we started off, we put actually the Prime Minister on spotlight in a good way. We're looking at quite a bold statement over the past week that he have been making, whether it's from his own staff when he visited the NAMPOD And so, yeah, and the focus has been really on the issues that I just wanted to bring it to your attention, issues of public service delivery and accountability. We talk about the issues of procurement system corruption in a procurement system. So the corruption in a procurement system, also looking at also the beneficiation, equitable, if you like, equitable resource distribution, and also public accountability. So those are some of the issues that the prime ministers have over the past week actually talked about. And well, I just wanted to highlight some of those and also kind of look at what could be the challenges, what could be, you know, some of the challenges in actually implementing the some of these ideas or some of these bold priorities. So, and implementation is one of the implementation is one of the challenge. So you have a culture within public sectors that you know, covering your back and all that. So, but he said no more excuses. We're looking for people that are driven, you know, and their problems, their solution oriented rather than actually problem oriented. So let's see what happened. And I have actually, you may come through. Our telephone number is 083-0833-66091, 083-0833-66091. So please do come through and have your say on the matter, on the item we have covered so far. So, yeah. So now let me give you, let's look at the very second item I have. It's quite typical, exactly issues what the Prime Minister actually is raising. So, in terms of accountability, in terms of, corruptions, whatever, corruption in a procurement system, in terms of resource beneficiations. So all those issues actually are coming through this, you know, and this is this is a story that been raising eyebrows, you know, and sparkling heated debate even in the parliament, because the opposition demanding answers about 100 million Angolan Petroleum deal. So that's actually sparking heat debate, and is the mysterious case of the missing 100 million linked to a controversial oil and gas transaction in Angolan block 15/06. So now the deal involves now NAMCO, our National Petroleum Corporation, in partnership with others. So, and the twist, and what is the twist? The twist is that over a year now, after the Anti-Corruption Commission investigation began, so the public is still actually waiting for an answers. So the public is still actually waiting for the answers. So what happened to the money? What happened to the money? Why hasn't comprehensive report been made public? So these are the questions. And what does this say about governance, about accountability, about corruption? This is exactly the issues that the Prime Minister is talking about. And so now, first of all, let's start by addressing the heart of this matter. So the public accountability. So the public accountability. So 100 million 100 million it's not a small sum, eh? Yeah? It's not a small sum. It's a lot of money. So, and this is not just about numbers on a balance sheet. So it represents a breach of trust. Think about this. Eh? So it represents that breach of trust. So a public fund are derived from taxpayers, and in a country where many struggle to access public basic services, the disappearance of such amount, it feels like a betrayal. In honest, it feels like a betrayal. It is a betrayal. So now, well, NAMCO's defense is citing the commercial, in an inverted comma, so commercial sensitivity of such a transactions. So that's, they're citing that, and that raises a red flags. Of course, strategic national deals often require confidentiality. So there's a difference between discretion and outright, you know, opacity. So when a taxpayer money is involved, shouldn't there be some kind of a threshold of transparency? So the absence of clarity, it leaves room for speculation. It also leaves rooms for the public, the eroding of a public trust in a state, in that institution, in that state institution. So that's why. Yeah? So, and as I said, these are some of the issues that exactly the Prime Minister is actually highlighted. And I bring this one just to show exactly that there is a long way to go. Now, so the incident point to, and this is very important, it's point to systemic governance challenges. It does point to a systemic governance challenges. The alleged unauthorized transfer of funds by NAMCO executive, NAMCO executive without a board approval is a symptom of a deeper, a deeper institutional flaws. So where were the check and balances? Where were the check and balances? So if the oversight mechanisms are so easily bypassed, what does this say about internal governance at that institution, at NAMCO, and other state-owned enterprises as well? What does it say about those internal governance? So that's why I said this is a systemic governance challenge. So now, The failure to recover the funds, as reportedly confirmed by Angola's Sonongo, that's add another layer to the narrative. So does this now, does this indicate negligence, or are there external pressures, you know, influencing the outcome? So why hasn't NAMCO or the ACC been forthcoming with update? So they are not forthcoming with update. Why they are not forthcoming with update? And the ACC as well. So are the external pressures influencing the outcomes? So those are questions. As I said, in the absence of information, you leave the room for speculation and also eroding public trust in an institution. So, as I said, this opacity create a troubling precedence. So, suggesting that accountability can be delayed or even avoided altogether. So, and especially when it involves maybe some political connected entities, who knows? So, yeah, I think this It's a typical example to look at what some of the issues that the Prime Minister has been talking about. Now, well, corruption, it doesn't exist in isolation, as we know. It has a tangible consequences. So, like 100 million could have, you know, allocated to pressing national needs. There are other needs that this 100 million could have actually addressed, building schools, improving healthcare, investing in infrastructure. So it could have actually have those tangible consequences. So when funds are mismanaged and vanish, it's not just a financial loss. It is a missed opportunity for development. And we should be really angry. we shouldn't let things go. Yeah, I think we have a tendency of just, you know, these things, you hear them and in some month you don't hear anything and it's gone for years. So, as I said, it's just not financial loss. It's not just money loss. It's a missed opportunity for development. And the calls from the opposition parties for a thorough investigation and accountability, that actually echoes a broader frustration among the Namibians. It's actually the same. We feel the very same, you know, the same thing. So there is a growing sense of that corruption is becoming normalized. Hopefully, you know, we hope that, you know, this new administration take this as a very, 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 very serious responsibility. And so there has been that growing sense that corruption is becoming normalized, with few consequences for those implicated. So, and this case serves as, you know what the word litmus test. So it shows us a litmus test for our commitment now to transparency and justice. We should be able to have them, whoever involved, accountable. So what is next? What is next in terms of this? So the opposition demanded for an independent commission of inquiry so if the government cannot be able to, you know, to investigate itself, you probably need international observers. They could step in. That could be the right thing to do. So, if the government is unwilling or unable to investigate itself, external oversight might restore some level of public confidence. So, however, this raises another critical question. With those implicated face justice, will those implicated face justice? The culture of, how do you call that? What is the word? The culture of golden parachute, where, for example, where the executive implicated in a scandal are quietly reassigned or allowed to resign, that must end. I think, and that's what also the Prime Minister is actually emphasizing. That must end. So asset seizures and criminal prosecution as demanded by some stakeholders might serve as an effective deterrence to this kind of actions. So the missing 100 million is not just a headline, if you like. It is a stark reminder of the urgent need for really accountability in our country and a systemic reform. So we need that. So whether it is NAMCOR, the government, or the ACC, someone must take the responsibility. Someone must take the responsibility. As a citizen, we have the right and the responsibility to demand, and I say to demand answers. All right? So it is within our right to do that. So because this is our money, it's a taxpayer's money. So yeah, come through. What is your take? What is your thought? What is your reaction? What do you think? What are your opinion? So our telephone number 08333-66091. 08333-66091. So do come through and have your say.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? Either a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not pick up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%. Is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
eye. The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the Elsi Nehangano, the Osherero Omaimburiro, the Catholics Maneka Karunga, the Afrikaans Selfwar Tierra, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-238-0063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
A very good morning to you. If you just joining us, this is Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. And my name is Mike Oshoveli, your host. So we're with you until the hour of 9:30. So far we have covered two items on our show. One on a number of issues that the Prime Minister have raised. So we're talking about, issue of corruption in the procurement systems. We're talking about issue of accountability. We talked about issue of beneficiation, resource beneficiation, and all the other points that the Prime Minister have been raising over the week and last of this past weeks, you know. And, one thing, and also another issue then, just to really emphasize one of the point, the issues that the Prime Minister is actually talked about over the week, so is the issue of the missing, the mysterious case of the missing 100 million that linked to a controversial oil and gas transaction in Angola Block 15/06. So this is a deal which involves NAMCO and this is our National Petroleum Corporation and other partners. So where up to now, even after the Anti-Corruption Commission investigation, I think last year or so, the public is still actually waiting for what happened to the money. What happened to the money, and why hasn't a comprehensive report been made public? And Yeah, and those are some of the issues. And that tells, and that says a lot about, you know, governance, accountability, and corruptions, the issues that the Prime Minister have raised. So, yeah, what is your take on that? What do you think? What is your opinion? So, we're talking about the disappearing of 100 million, and that actually is not a small sum. It's not small money. So, and the reason Nanko Givens actually, and in their defense is that actually this is actually a commercial, because it's commercial sensitivity, or the nature of the commercial sensitivity of such a transactions. So that's why they probably haven't, you know, given, the report and other things that, the public demands. Good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
I'm alright, my brother.
Yeah.
This oil controversy of between Namco and the Angolan Nango.
Yeah, so I think it's as much as, you know, if we don't have actually proper, how would I say it, proper mechanism in place, as much as this it's opportunity for Namibia, all this oil and gas, it may still actually fall into small hands, and we don't benefit. We will talk, we'll continue after this commercial quickly. Yeah.
All right.
Do you urgently need cash and happen to own a car? Creditors delaying and contractors need to be paid? When life throws you a rainy day, AutoCash got your back. Park your car and get up to 45% of its value within 45 minutes. No payslip, no bank statement, just the car. Moolah when you need it.
Easy money.
Call us today on 061-400-676. That is 061-400-676. AutoCash, it's that simple.
All right, we can go ahead.
Yeah, you know, Mike, for me,
yeah,
if you want to move forward for this country, where we can root off the cockroach,
yeah,
we must start with a IC post.
Yeah.
That is the only way. Because I'm telling you, starting from the thing which is even supposed to be follow up already, like a JPF money, social security, you name it, what, there's also something which is the one money for missing, I think the era of the president, either Pwamba or Sam Nyoma, what they call this thing, one man, supposed to be lended for business, small business, but to end up not benefiting anybody.
Yeah.
But individual workers to friend of them.
Actually, there's a list of missing money that we completely even
disappearing like that.
Now we even forget. We don't talk even about it anymore. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Sooner or later, even the SME bank. You know,
yeah.
It's something that we don't talk, and there's nobody
anymore.
There's nobody actually hold accountable at all.
Up to now. But we know the people who have been involved. They are still around and they are driving their enterprises.
Exactly. Yeah.
And they will tell you are poor because you are not, you didn't work hard enough. How can you? I'm telling you.
Yeah.
This is very happening, my friend.
Yeah, they're looking at you. Yeah, he hasn't. You are where you are because you haven't worked enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hard enough.
Now.
Yeah.
And the thing is that when I'm moving with these things, when uncle, they see the boss is still the CEO with that transaction, you see, like, it's untouchable.
Yeah.
Everybody's just scared of him. I don't know how. Because the way I'm looking at this is even a fish lot, if it was not Al Jazeera way, where they're supposed to be in the dark up to now.
Yeah. But how can one, a person, an institution, as I said, this is a systemic challenge, a governance challenge for not only maybe for Namco, but for other institutions. How can someone make a transaction of 100 million?
And you are there as a board member, and now you are silent. and you still around to be a bond member again. For what? What are you going to protect if you didn't protect enough for transaction and that person is not in jail up to now?
It's 100 million.
100 million, my friend. You know how 100 million can do this country.
We can't even say where it is and what happened to it and all that. And people goes as normal, you know?
I'm telling you, my God, that the problem with this country, man. And the funny thing, when we're seeing this is happening and you see how the a person who is about to protect what is happening is still tomorrow campaigning to tell you that, yes, we are going to deal with what, we are going to give you services and what. Come on. And you are letting the 100 million to go without to a person being held accountable.
Yeah.
And tomorrow we want to tell us about transparency. Where? How? The thing is that, Michael, when I'm only this one,
yeah,
I think there are so many people in the world in this Namcor.
It's quite simple. Imagine this. If we know you have actually made a transaction of 100 million, so what is so difficult to say it? We're gonna, you know, you go against actually the company principles. We are going to arrest you.
And you know that, yeah. It will be like, you know the rule, what the rule is saying.
Yeah.
And now you did it. Okay. This is a consequence.
Exactly.
You are going to face.
Yeah.
It's in an action. What's happening?
It should be simple and straightforward.
Even ICC themselves, how far are they with that case?
It's when almost a year. From last year's, I think, yeah. Up to now, there's no public report.
Nothing.
On actually, and they and citing actually a commercial sensitivity, you know.
You know what? In the whole issue of this thing, so what I'm saying, ICC, they need to go. The person need to go, and they will bring the gentleman was involved in the fish rot scandal. Just back or something. He need to come back. Because this ICC boss is needed to be investigated. Seriously, what is it giving me? Yeah, because me, first of all, we don't go to tail without touching the head. You must start tailing the head first. Because if you take the tail, it might end up even biting you.
Yeah.
It's better to hold the head first. And it's what is happening. Because this ICC boss are seeing this torment deal, man. Is involved. Because you cannot tell me SMEPM up to now the board member are there. They are not even up now going to hold their accountability. Money is just disappearing like that. It's a public money.
Yeah.
And the public, we need to know where that money go. Because today, if you would check in the media today, there are people kids are not going to write in the grade 11. Because they cannot afford 7,700 which is required to to the school. For them to administer for examination. Just imagine. And they have 100 million missing for one person.
Yeah.
No, man, it's a hard time also to deal with difficult. If this government is, the current government are serious, it's a time now. Because we are seeing this, and the people are no fool to be followed the way they used to be. People are hooked. We are reading news. We are reading what the other country are doing. We have America in our bottleneck here, and we are doing the same thing. You think America is not influencing in Namibia? A lot of people.
As I said, this is a case. This case serves as a test of our commitment now to transparency and justice. You know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The president just wanted to put up a committee of inquiry without interfering with even for this ICC nonsense. Without even NAMCOR. No, then they can just go to the book of NAMCOR, they go what, and they say, oh, man, must be arrested. There must be a question to him. You cannot tell me that you're doing a transaction, and now the money is ready to disappear.
Yeah. But the good thing is that the opposition parties are really on tail of the government to give answers on this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not only them, even the public ourselves, we need the answer.
Exactly. And that's why we bring it that in public discourse for everybody to be aware and talk about it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you can just continue the way it was. where you eat up money, then you start telling people nonsense even.
Yeah.
It's a hard time to change that mentality with the used to do things.
All right.
Thank you, man.
Thank you for coming through.
All right.
So it won't be the business, the business as usual is not as, it should be not business as usual for everybody. So it's not only for those who have appointed in position of an official position in a government or something. So it shouldn't be as usual. It shouldn't be as business as usual for everybody. So let's everybody do that. We, all of us, let's not just let things slide as we used to. Let's also pick up that mantra, if you like, that is not as business as usual. So we as citizens, we must also stand up and say, it's not going to be business as usual. So we have to do things differently. So it's for us as well. Let's hold accountable. And something that I said every time, let's hold accountable. And not everybody is in the position of leadership, not just in terms of government. And whether it's in a community, whether it's in the church, whether it's traditionally church, civil society, whatever the case may be, yeah, wherever it is, let's hold everybody who is in the position of leadership, who is in a position of being responsible for other people or for any resources that belong to a community, let us hold them accountable. And that's the reason sometimes we bring up some of these issues here, to create that awareness, to create that understanding. And as I said, we have to read, we get to depend on what you are fed by the radios or by the newspapers. Yes, read the newspapers, but make sure that you go beyond that. Follow up, get to understand some of the issues and things that are going in the country, especially the constitution as well. That's the one thing I said, and this is something I'm challenging, that the lawmakers. If I were president, I would make sure that I would test everybody. This would be the exam. When you come into parliament, you know, we have to test you. Are you qualified enough because you're going to defend the constitution. Do you know the constitution? Do you know what you're going to defend? You have to know it from page to page, from the cover to cover. And if you don't, you're not worthy of becoming a lawmaker. So even if you come from the ticket of your political party, so we don't just want people that sit there just for the sake of, collecting the pegs that comes with that. So what contribution, what meaningful contribution do you have, are you making, for this country? So that's what we need to, and as citizen, we're also responsible. Read, as I said, read the policies, read the development plans of this country. Read, even if you're not a SWAPO member, read the SWAPO manifesto planning, implementation plan, you know? So because you will hear that being cited over and over for the next five years. So make sure you familiarize yourself what is in it. What is in it, and what are we? Well, what are you expecting? What is that you expect to be delivered? What are the services that actually delivered? What are the priorities of these administrations? Because it's based on that. So take a copy. You go to our, download. As I said, download the Eagle FM. Mobile application. So the Eagle FM mobile application, download that. You will have that. It's there. You can read it from there for yourself. So we make it easier for you. All what you need to do is just download the Eagle FM, mobile application. So, and then you can always have, have this information available to you. Do that right now. So, yeah, our telephone number is 083-366-091. Do please come through and have your... We're looking at money disappearing, the 100 million so the 100 million that actually a deal that involved Namcor and other partners, so that those involved in the mysterious case, this case of the missing 100 million, which is linked to a controversial oil and gas a transaction in Angola block, I think 15/06. So what is your take, and what is your opinion on this point? So our telephone number is 083-366-091. So you're most welcome to come through and have your say.
Omutiha with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. Chicago Shafa, Sanana, Longishifa, Yaji.
Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, how are you?
Doing good, how are you?
Well, I'm always fine.
100 million missing.
Yep. And nobody knows how it, where it is. And but we know somebody who have actually authorized it. We don't know where the money gone, but we know who has authorized it, and he's still actually running around, and you know.
You know, sometimes when you read these things in the paper, you'll be laughing at yourself, because remember, money of that amount missing without.
Without trace.
Anybody without trace, was money kept in the house whereby just someone come and take? Was this money not supposed to be on a certain account, and then this account is controlled by either 6 or 7 people who have to sign before money is released?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You really not understand, and it's like when our elder, those that are in position, report to us such things, they think as if they are reporting to maybe to the kindergarten kids. But nowadays, kindergarten, they are also smart. They will even ask questions that you are not expecting to be asked.
Even the bank wouldn't release that money without any, because if normally it requires any 2 signatory or whatever from the chairperson of the board. So you can't do the transaction without any some kind of form of letters that indicate that money can go through. You know.
Yeah, Michael, that money. If you go where it was kept, the account where it was kept, there should be a paper that is stating that. The person who authorized the account came at this time, because it should record time and date and everything, and how much the amount and where the amount was going. It's really something that you would be like, no, this is it's not making sense.
Yeah.
And I'm a bit disappointed with the statement of saying, okay, we are not going to follow the previous corruption, and then from the president.
Yeah,
I think it does not sit well, mostly on my side, because if you are buying a house from someone. And this house, the owner is telling you that, no, this house is leaking from way and way.
Yeah.
And then you said, it's fine, I bought the house, I'm not going to fix the leaking. And then the rain season comes, what will happen?
Exactly. That's a nice, yeah. Scenario. Yeah.
Yes. Because really when you are buying something that you want to fix, you really have to fix it. Because at this point of a time, the head of state is supposed to tackle. She's in a very, very, very good position if you really want to fight corruption.
Yeah.
To clean the entire, like she needs to turn all the stone that had never been turned for long.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when she turned the stone and then she put her new people that she thinks, those that were allegedly mentioned in different ways or They need to go.
Yeah. I think we need people behind bars. Things yes. Like you cannot just have 100 million gone and nothing happened.
No. Yeah. And that's how she's going to go further and with her new government. And because if she's not really going to look at like, no, because this corruption allegation was for the past, what, I'm not going to do that. Like I said, when rain will come, that house will still continue raining and she would not know where to fix. So
exactly, yeah.
Otherwise, really, 100 million to be... And there are so many figures that has went missing in this country.
Yeah.
And which is really nowhere. Nobody has been arrested, nothing. And we have our ACC here that is like, you don't know how can you call it. Yeah, there are so many things that really need to be looked at with immediate effect, not just NAMCO areas. There's a lot. For a population of 3 million, and then you hear figures like 100 million getting missing, and we have number of unemployed people that is very high, graduating, and there's no employment. Really, no. I think if I was the one, I could have even reduced some big position within the government that I know if someone worked there for 5 years can have enough money to go home with. To be reduced, like you only work here for 5 years or 10 years, you give a chance to someone else.
Well, some of these are qualified people. Go and get a job somewhere else.
Get a job somewhere else.
Yeah.
Now people have been sitting there with a huge salary and it's And for over 20, 30 years, just, no. Yeah. Then these graduates now that are graduating, where are they going to find employment if we have people that are sitting on 3, 4, 5 jobs?
But there comes, with some institution, there comes just when somebody's stagnant, you know, you run out of ideas. You have been there for how many, 12 or what, how many years? There's some come a time where you just need to change, to make a change.
Yeah.
And I think with ACC, I think that change need to come.
Yeah, no, we are really looking forward to see that change coming because really that department or that organization has been not giving us what we expected to see from them. So I think that's where rotation even of after every 2 years need to come because that is a very, very, very a big organization that we thought everyone will look eye on into. We have so many allegations within the country. You know these small allegations which they ignore. These are the serious things that's happening on the ground.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, because ACC don't reach there, and you never know to where to report. That's why now we are seeing people are reporting to the activists because they have no trust into.
The institution that we established to do that.
It's really, like on the money missing issue, guys, it's really getting out of hand and money you deposit in the bank and then all of a sudden you are told the money is gone and then the bank is not held accountable to pay the, because if I put my money in the bank that I trust my money with the bank and then it gets missing in the bank. I don't need to fear anything because I know I kept my money in the bank.
Yeah.
The bank must know how and where to get my money.
Yeah, as NAMCO would say, we haven't sanctioned that money. We haven't actually authorized that money. We want our money.
And
so there's just so mysteries that you just think something is not right.
And where is our financial intelligence?
Exactly. I think we lack expert in forensic and investigation, I think, and financial intelligence and things like that. I think that's also a problem. Could be also a problem in Namibia.
And I think these are also people that we need to change, because we cannot, they cannot tell us they investigate this kind of investigation for 2-3 years without any feedback.
Mm.
Either they investigate and then they are being paid also their way, we don't know, or they just don't do anything. They must also be rotated, maybe even after 3 years we put some other people there.
Yeah.
Because really,
and I said, in absence of information, people speculate. We have a right to speculate.
We have the right to speculate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Otherwise, give us the right information, and then we are in the know. Yeah.
It's true. Yeah. Now let me give just the others.
No, thank you for coming, Mr. Man.
Right, bye.
Great. Very good morning to you. Our time is about 8 minutes past the hour of nine. This is Unpacking the Day, and yeah, we, as I said, today we put our spotlight on the Prime Minister's, the bold stance that he have made over the past week. And also we're looking at the 100 million, million Namibian dollars that have been, you know, that's gone missing without any trace, you know, from the deal that involve our petroleum corporation, NAMCO. What is your thinking? What is your take? Yeah, so you're most welcome to come through. Our telephone number is 0833-66091. 0833-66091. Well, otherwise, I can go to my third item on the show while you're picking up that that number, that phone to come through. So yeah, the another topic that impacts all of us in a way, and we might not even realize that is the cybersecurity. Okay, I have a caller. Someone is knocking on the door. Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, Eagle FM.
Good morning, man.
On the missing money.
Yeah.
I think this took being a joke of being a joke of the year.
Yeah.
Yes, because as the last caller said also, the bank is interested to keep that money. That's what they told us, that if we keep money in our houses,
yeah,
it will be stolen.
Yeah.
Right? So the best place to keep our money is in the bank where it's safe, which is true.
Yeah.
Now, the bank knows. The
which is now, because it's not true anymore.
Yes. Now, because what you said, you said very well that the bank knows exactly where the money, because NAMCO have the right to, because you know, our money was not stolen.
Yeah.
What people were stolen is bank money. Then the bank will find its money. Government must just stand the ground with you, the one you said that NAMCO money is not stolen. Because NAMCO did not authorize that money.
Eh? Exactly. Yeah.
Then as a bank, that's where we have got the problem, because then the criminals are found in the bank. That CEO of that bank must be brought to our account. You know?
Yeah.
It should face the consequence. So him will be first facing the consequences. We authorize that money, but bring it to the public. But that money is public money.
Yeah, because if they release that money, there must have been authorized papers as required by the bank actually to release the money. You know?
Yes, but Mike, all of us, we know that. We even getting an overdraft. Eh?
Yeah.
You sweat. Now, overdraft of 2,000.
Of 2,000, exactly.
You sweat.
Yeah.
You should bring this, you bring that, you bring the proof of this, proof of that. You know, the only thing they don't even tell you, even to register whatever you want to register, they even tell you to go bring the proof that this person was your parent or whatever. It the dead person, the person died 10, 15, 15 years ago. They say, bring the proof that that person was not married.
Yeah.
You know, this is how strict it is. Now, how is it possible that the bank allowed that money?
Yeah, can just release a hundred millions, you know, just like that.
Yes.
Mm.
Bank, we go borrow money from the banks. When you are borrowing money, it's a process. You get different type of signatures, papers, so that the corruption is taken out. The theft part is also over, you know, government.
Mm.
It's scrutinized so that this money is going to the right account. Now, if the money went, there is an account where the money went to.
Yeah.
Yes. So, the person who authorized that money have got a name. They should not stop. They should stop hiding things. This is public money.
Mm.
And what the other caller said, which I also agree, is if the current administration now wants to say, no, we are not going to investigate the last, it's not a good thing. They should do what Zambia did. Eh? Anything the whoever ends with their own efforts, leave it to them. Anything they end through corruption, it's not theirs, it's public.
Yeah.
So it should go back to the state. So if Katia Lwendo was selling lithium that time before as of the whistleblowers, brought it to the attention of the nation, that money which was collected within that period, it's not his money. That was the natural resources of the country. That money must be brought back to the country, the nation.
Yeah.
Because that was not his money. He earns the money by being employed as a minister to protect and defend the nation. He never protected and defend the natural resources. He gave them away. So that money must come back to the state. Yes. So that's what we should just do. So the bank knows. So let's mention that bank. Eh?
Exactly.
The point is, for us to get to the bottom of everything, the bank, the media must now go to the bank and call out the bank. The bank must tell us where did the money go to.
Yeah.
Yes. There's nothing. It's public money. You can't come with public money telling that, you know, it's secret. There's no secret in public funds.
Yeah.
Public fund for the public. The public is the owner. So who is the owner? The state through the nation, the people through the state, all that. So the bank must tell us where did they take the public money. It's not private. It's public.
Yeah.
Yes. So a public thing is in the domain of the people. Must be in the domain of the people. So we want, because also when the public money is stolen, it's public information. So the account where the money went, it was supposed to be for the public. So the public must know where did the money went to.
Mm.
It's not something like private. So I think the media is the responsibility now of you, the media guys. Eh? Investigate. We have got investigating journalists. The same thing Al Jazeera did. Eh? So now go to the bank. Don't forget about Namco. Just send the bank. We get this trick that the 100 million that was authorized from this account of Namco went to this one.
Yeah.
Who did this?
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, when the money was shared, because every money is having tricks.
Yeah.
They withdrew the whole 100 million at once.
Yeah, you know, sometimes, I mean, it's not
easy. Somebody signed for it.
Yeah, it's not as simple as that because, you know, they will tell that we actually have the oath of protecting our client and we're not going to diverge any information. You know, so it's not that simple as that. Yeah.
The difference is here. This is a crime.
Yeah.
You know, but so police arrest criminals. And if the bank is also a complex in a crime, we are not saying give us the information on what, but we are saying the public money. Which client are they protecting? A criminal. Cut the mic.
Yeah.
I steal your car. Eh? Then you will find out it's true, you have stolen your car. Then the police says, no, we are protecting the integrity of our client. Of what? of the whatever you might call the citizen.
Mm.
Would it be why are you protecting the criminal? The people in the Al Jazeera exposed them, whether they were minister or whatever, we saw them. They are still there. So what's the difference between this other one? There is no clear difference.
It's the same. It's the same. What I'm saying is that it's the same thing when Namco, in their defense, is actually saying, well, the problem why we're not coming forth with information is because of commercial sensitivity. You know?
It's crime.
Yeah.
If you're such like treating crime with sensitivity, then you are due to a criminal.
So as a journalist, you're just left with the bank. It doesn't give you information.
I agree with the journalist.
Yeah.
The limitation.
Yeah.
But the public, the journalist, if they can't do that, I think we should come up with a plan. Parliament must go. Parliament. Look, we have got different opposition.
I think the first responsibility. I think the opposition party are pushing this. But the first responsibility is the government. You know, where is the public money? You know, where they must hold the people responsible accountable. And this is the piece we need to go to. Yeah.
Because all of us, we should recite the constitution. Yeah. And whatever they say, those who are in power, they said they shall defend and protect. So now, if you shall defend and protect the constitution of the republic, which simply means anything that belongs to the republic should be protected. And then we are no longer protected because of sensitivity of what?
Yeah.
Even the best, when they come to business, they say we are going to adhere and follow all the laws of the land. Is that so?
Yeah.
Yes. So the law of the land, Parliament must just say no, the bank must be sound, and it should be, live.
Mm.
Yes. So the public knows, I think we also get the first-hand information. You know?
Yeah.
It shouldn't be lying, it shouldn't be hiding. Because a criminal is a criminal. A snake is a snake, no matter how small it is. If it bites, it will kill you. So you cannot protect a small snake because this one is so small. Eh? The snake is going to bite. If you have got poison, you will die.
And it's going to go.
And it will continue biting. So that part we should not forget. So we shouldn't say this snake is too small. Or we should protect it. You protect a snake in your house, it will bite you and kill you in your house.
No, that's very true.
So we shouldn't protect it. We cannot protect crime. Because that told us that, crime must not be condoned. Is that so?
Yeah.
The bank, why should the bank now condone crime by telling us that no privacy? Who are they protecting? We want to see this, let me be honest with you. If I'm misbehaving, and I've stolen something, and you bring me in the public, you know, next time I'll never steal.
Yeah. No, okay, to the bank, I mean, to be fair to the bank, one, it has to come there as, this is a crime, you know, it hasn't been yet officially as a crime from, we terming as a crime, but it's not officially as a crime. You understand?
It's not official. So it's a legal mandate. So we shouldn't complain.
So all what is happening now is still an investigation and, formal investigation this is now, somebody has committed a crime so the police can go to the bank and be able to ask all this information.
True.
Yeah, but
my concern also.
Yeah,
okay.
But from our part, we cannot be able to do that. Yeah.
No, fully agree.
Yeah.
You see, my concern is also the value of the 100 million now.
Yeah.
It won't be the same value of 100 million next year.
Exactly, yeah.
So if we can recover that money as much as possible, that 100 million can be used for something. Well, that is going to make value. But if you get it after 2, 3, 4, 5 years, the value of 100 million won't be the same.
Yeah.
And we never took it. If it's investigation, we just call the people, ask, investigate. Now, the problem, I think, which the other last caller said, maybe they are also paid the other side.
You never know.
Pablo used to do that, eh?
Yeah. And this is what I'm saying. In the absence of information, speculation goes. The reason sometimes when the papers don't really bring much of the information is because not much they get. And this is a serious thing. You understand?
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah.
So the papers, they bring it to the domain of the public. So the public now, they should know that our properties or our money is stolen.
Yeah.
So now how do I address as public? I think the public, we have got our representatives. Because it's not all of us who should now speak.
Yeah.
We are speaking on the radio because it's a medium of instruction. I think we give ideas. That's why we speak on the radio.
Yeah.
But our ideas must be taken now for those who are entrusted with power, which is parliament. Because whatever parliament is going to decide and make, it will be binding. The person will be caught.
Yeah.
You can't run out of parliament because those are the lawmakers.
Yeah,
you can't take parliament to court. No, I'm taking parliament to court because they summoned me.
Hmm.
You know, the only thing you can do is to run to another country, maybe.
Yeah.
So I think as we bring ideas, we are saying parliament must now go in and then we'll be summoning these people.
Yeah, yeah, no, no, something, 100,000 cannot just, but as I said, we have a list of even more money. We have a list of even more money that have disappeared. And we still have no idea. Nobody has been arrested, nothing at all, you know?
But so, I mean, this government must start. The current administration must start.
So, as you said, 100 million could be a smaller snake.
No, but what you want to say, the point, the only thing, definitely, what they need just to do is, I don't have any problem. The current government must not say they are not. We are not saying people end. Yes, people make mistakes here and there. They are carried out with entitlements. And then they end up misbehaving or abusing of power, whatever. All that the government must do is, anything that you acquired through the rightful means and ways, it's yours. Anything that you acquired through dubious ways, belongs to the state. That's all.
Yeah.
We just recover what, we don't need to send people to jail to do what? To save. And then they come out, what happens? No. Just get what does not belong to them, bring it to the state. The state continue distributing to the nation.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Thanks.
No, thanks for coming through. All right. Our time is about 25 minutes past the hour of 9, and we definitely goes up to. By 9:30, we will come to the end of the program. And today is Wednesday. The e-newspaper, the Villager, the e-newspaper is also, today's edition is also out. I hope you have subscribed to get your copy. If you haven't, please do that. It's published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So today's one is also out. Some of the stories that you can read, or you can find in today's edition. 7 months later, high rail project still stalled. It's still stalled. So the high rail project is still, in concept mode. After 7 months, so the dual fuel hydrogen diesel locomotive project, which was set to be fueled by Namibian green hydrogen, was halted in September of last year. So this temporary suspension came after the Development Bank of Namibia and the Development Bank of Southern Africa approved a Transnamib request for 2.6 billion loan to be enable it to update its fleet and steer the firm towards its ambition. So that's a story
that you can also go through that and read that as well for yourself. So, but first of all, what you have to do, you need to subscribe to. So the other story that you can find in today's edition of the Villagers, government plans to service 10,000 plot annually by 2027. That's also a story that you can find in there. So maybe it's your locality. Go and read for yourself to find out. So The Economist, another story. The Economist expect Bank of Namibia to hold repo rate steady. So, yeah, and what is that's also another one that you if you're interested, that you can look forward to that. So Namibia rakes in 5.96 billion in mining royalties over 3 years. So that's another story. And also on the sports side, Capricorn Eagles split series with Victory Pearls. So this is about the six match T201 Capricorn Eagles series came to a thrilling end on Tuesday afternoon with the Victoria Pearls, the Ugandan women cricket team, edging the Capricorn Eagles by 6 wickets at the higher performance oval in Windhoek. So the Ugandan women crickets actually won over Namibia's Eagles. All right. What our time? It's 29 minutes past the hour of nine. And that actually brings us to the end of our program today. So continue to listen to Eagle FM. And as we say, please make sure that you download the Eagle FM mobile applications to be able to listen to Eagle FM wherever you are. Whether in the office, whether taking a walk, wherever you are, you will be connected to Eagle FM. Do that, and you will be able to have access to your favorite shows and economic and development news that we bring to you. So stay tuned. Mind the Gap is coming up, and after that, Sizuma Saliko, and after that comes On the Radar and Onhuntana Dingi, all scheduled to make your day a better day. You know, please stay tuned for Mind the Gap with Helmut. For me, until tomorrow, man, we'll see each other again.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Mukungu lelewa tuko maikuto wa mina apiri kwa mavchaziva. Mvele kisema ep ato lokasi nchavu kamso, zakale liferile, mise kunani zencha. Kuzo wakwa kushimba lifera zari vuka kuya kwa lifasi la lifera fama kepe. Mvone maikuto amancha a imba ep, mwikutwe kulibusi emba santo ye nguyetuna. Mwikole sifera fama kepe, marizo hola mina. Hamuvone, Imba encha ni encha farizwe ikopanya mifuta ya lifera matasa app ilini kukopanya naha ni kuhasa nyali nzwira mlimo zengwi zefumane hamas fera sesfa app ya imba kize tatama elsin ehangano oshiherero omaemuriro catholic smane kakarunga africans ni zengwi zengata Mulori zeze kacheno, haiva mtavira kulisfera sa kereke ya mina, si eke zwefa mkoloko walifera za imba, va 081-2358-063, kapa mlumere imele kwa digital@omalaiti.com. Muzive ni kufuma na imba kacheno, mkona kufuma na fa App Store ni Google Play Store.
Si wanashana mibia. Kamberera omwakarunga koe pamwe na imba.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.